character or a scene in the show that you both ultimately would be like, meh, I could do without?
I would dropkick Heimerdinger into the freaking moon.
No!
I want to hold him by his little furry head and kick him right in the face, and because he could have fixed everything.
But science needs to be safe.
Could have. Yeah. He's been alive. How long has he been
300
alive?
300 years. 309.
307 years.
Once. Not one time. He'd be like, I should do something about this.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Delulu Canoe Podcast, where today we're going to be riding down the river extremely fast because I have the biggest Delulu in my brain right now. But before we get into that, joining me in the canoe today is Adam Williams Estro.
Hey.
Thanks for joining me.
Yeah.
Also, thank you for watching this show that we're about to talk about.
Yeah.
Because I forced you and was like, we need to do an episode on this.
Yeah. And it's so funny. Like, I remember this coming out in 2021 and, like, kind of being like, yeah, I didn't really like League of Legends. Like, I'll watch it. And the art style was cool, but I just really couldn't get into it. And then with your recent obsession, it's been nice to go back and review things and dive into all the YouTube, you know, deep dives and everything. Yeah.
So for those of you that are listening, we're going to talk about Arcane today, but we brought on a specialist who is just as obsessed as we are. It's definitely her Delulu. We've got Chompy joining us.
Hello.
Yay,
so happy
Chompy
to be back. Thank you for having me
again. Just as Caitlin, I'm obsessed.
No, I'm literally so happy that you watched this and that you texted me because, like, oh, there's nothing that I want to talk about more than Arcane.
Yeah, I was watching the show, and I don't know who pointed me to it. I wish I could remember, but somebody was like, maybe you should watch this. You might enjoy it. And I was kind of like, okay, what do I got to lose? And by episode 3, season 1, I was obsessed and instantly texted you because I know you and your partner are also obsessed with this show.
Yes. Yeah, so we actually... We made them, season one. We made our costumes season one. Claire made our costumes. Claire made all of our costumes completely by hand. No pattern, just made it up.
Wow.
And then we have known people who've worked at Riot, but I don't think that's why we got hit up. But they needed someone for their four-year consideration campaign for season one for their Emmys. So they actually hired us as the official cosplayers to, like, promote the event and
wow.
the show.
Cool.
And so now they brought us back, like, 4 times. So we were at that. We were at the season 2 premiere. We were at the season 2 finale at the Shrine.
Wow.
Which was actually
that
the most incredible experience because the finale no one had seen yet.
Yeah.
And so in the room with several thousand people, the voice actors, and we were seeing the last 3 episodes for the first time. Edge of my seat is not enough of a description because, like, it was like, my breath was, because it was like, that's my baby. That's me. That's me. What's going to happen to her? Oh, God. So, and then, of course, the ending, screaming.
Did you understand it when it aired the first time? The ending?
No. The actual. Okay, so spoiler warning for everyone who is watching. If you haven't seen Arcane, we're going to talk about the end of season 2. So, stop this video now. Turn on Netflix, give yourself a day or two, and then come back to this because you need to experience this.
Like, don't let us spoil it for you. Please go watch it. Even if it's a weird, bumpy ride, please go watch it.
It is just such a fantastic show, top to bottom. It is so beautifully animated. I think it's one of the most beautiful animations that has ever been made. And these animators spent days of their lives, like, they would, like, a second would take an entire day. So it's like, people put their lives into this and it's beautiful. I think it's a beautiful story. So take the time and watch it.
Yeah.
Anyway, now we're talking about the end.
Let's talk about season 2.
Okay, so with Jinx, no, we did not understand. At the end, we were being like, what the fuck? What happened? But then we got into all the YouTube analysis videos and we're like, okay, so... Pink Streak, she's out there.
And that shot of the blue.
Your girl, come on. Yeah, no, she's out there.
Yeah, I,
doing
so
something.
when I watched it, so I watched through like the first couple episodes, to be honest, season one. And I was just trying to be like, what, why, where's Jinx? Where's the adult Jinx? Why are we watching these kids do all this stuff? And I was passively going about and doing things in my house. By episode three, I was fully sat weeping. Like, I had dropped all everything. So by season two, as we were getting towards the climax of the show, I felt a little confused with the ending and the writing direction it took. But I feel like we have to give them a lot of credit that it wasn't predictable.
Oh, 100%.
I think a lot of shows accidentally become too predictable because people start making all these YouTube videos and all these lores and all these different things. And then it almost makes the writers be like, oh, God, we got to change. Like, if people are guessing this just based on this one thing, we got to make it different. So mm-hmm. I will give them that. I think Jinx secretly living with the little pink streak is a good strategic move because some people are going to believe she's gone, right, that she's passed away, and then some people are going to believe that she escaped.
Yeah.
So it's kind of, it's almost like, what do you in your mind think happened? And I love endings like that because everyone's going to have a different interpretation.
Well, and yeah, and even Kate Vi is open-ended. It's like, are you still in this fight? Like, what does that mean? And because Caitlin knows, like, Caitlin has the piece of the monkey bomb and she's like looking through the files being like, mm-hmm. okay, this is her escape plan. This is how she got out. So it's like, okay, are we going to stop now? Is it over? Are we going to stop hunting her? Like,
yeah. Well, are we going to tell your sister?
Yeah. Like, no, that, exactly. You're going to tell her.
That's how I took it, was when Jinx was like, oh, you're never going to stop looking for me, are you? It wasn't like, she wasn't happy about that.
No.
She was sad because mm-hmm. she was like, no matter what, Vi's always going to come back looking for me, and she's never going to get the happiness that she deserves. So, like, you know, she had to kill herself.
Or yeah, make it basically look like she was killing herself. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I agree with that. How do I feel about Jesus Victor?
I mean,
I feel like it was interesting. Like, I found myself a little bit like, okay, here we go. But I still watched.
Yeah.
Despite me being a little critical about it, I still watched it.
No, I agree with you. It was a little bit like, all right. I guess that's a way you could do it. But yeah, I mean, it's still a great
show. He had like six final forms.
Just like kept going. But yeah, no, I cannot describe like being in the shrine, not knowing what happened, and watching the show with thousands of people being like,
where is this going?
Where is this going? And there was one break between the last two. So we were all just like, what is happening?
Oh, so wait, they played the last
two? Now I can't remember if there was like a little break or if they just played them all back to back. I feel like there was like a 5-minute break or something.
Everybody's got to pee or something. Yeah. Because, yeah, but now
I can't remember.
I mean, still, that's pretty awful if they were like, here's the two final episodes. There's one more left, but you have to break for 5 minutes to go pee. I would be like nails gripped to the seat, confused. Because season two just, it is almost like that one Harry Potter movie where you just watch everybody suffer. Do you know which one that is, Adam? I don't recall.
Is that the first part of Deathly Hallows?
I think so. Where it's literally you watch the characters just suffer. And I feel like that's season two, is everyone's suffering.
Having a bad time.
No one is really on the up except for Singe, like the doctor.
Yeah.
Singe sucks.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, season two definitely had some like hard Empire Strike Back vibes, you know? Yeah. Like, it was not the one that everybody wanted things to happen, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like at first when we watched it through, that was like I was happy, I was satisfied with it. And then I was seeing everybody complain about season two. And I personally was like, they're just mad because they actually like killed off characters. Like, they're just mad that like there's not this big like romance scene between those two. There's not more of that. And that everybody wound up with a happy ending. People just like can't use their imaginations and blah, blah, blah. And then I started watching all the YouTube videos of people like explaining like holes and things that's wrong with season two. And I'm like, oh no, like, am I letting other people's opinions sway me? Like, I don't know.
I feel like, yeah, people pick at stuff too much, and it's like, it is the show that it is, and like, there's different ways that it could have gone, but like,
yeah,
this was their vision from the very start. They wrote and they went straight through. Like, they did not stop for a break between season one and two. So as season one was coming, they were still working on season two. So it was not like,
even though, like, all the writers were, like, they shuffled writers.
they did. But yeah, no, they did. They, it was not like they reacted to the audience or anything while they were writing season two. It was already like the story was planned from the very beginning. So yeah.
Like that would have been my only beef is that you have to pay attention to every single word that's being said, to every single thing that's in the background. Like it's like watching Lost or Game of Thrones.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I didn't know that it was going to be like that because I'm admittedly not generally a huge anime fan. Like anime just generally doesn't do it for me. But there was something about the animation of this show that just like it was so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And then once I started watching it again, it was like, oh my God, like I don't know. I was weird because like I never played the game. I don't really like those kinds of games.
No, I've never played the game. I would not encourage anyone to play the game.
No.
I think the show lives on its own.
Yeah.
Its own merit. Even though it does have obviously a lot of lore references to the game, but it's so much changed from what the game is, and I'm so glad that they made changes like with Vi's overall aesthetic, like significant improvement in my opinion. Same with Jinx, like pretty much all the characters got a huge glow up. I'm so glad that I'm not wearing a giant top hat right now.
Yeah,
is that what she wears in
that's
the game?
That's what Caitlyn wears in the game.
No.
Yeah, she has some other really cool outfits.
Yeah,
so I've cosplayed a couple of her other, like her pool party skin. And yeah, we have a couple other ones that we've done. So I do like some of the game skins, but not her original one.
Yeah, the skins are cool, and I also like admire that about the show is that like. You like there's a little bit of criticism where Jinx and Echo finally get this conversation in the current timeline, and then everyone's like, oh, they had time to make outfits to go to the battle, like this is stupid. But it's like, I grew up watching The Simpsons where everybody wore the same thing every single
right.
day. I like when they give characters different outfits. Yeah. And I didn't know that was like a league thing. Now that I'm here, it all makes sense.
Right.
But like, I like when we add versatility to them, even if it's just like a small outfit change, a small like flair embellished. To me, it just makes it more interesting, and I don't know. I guess like it didn't bother me that they changed outfits before the final.
I prefer that. It's not like not everybody has a closet full of the same clothes over and over and over. You know,
like
yeah, they didn't build them. They had battle outfits hanging in the closet, just waiting for a rainy day. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I also really loved like one thing that I did learn from a lot of the YouTube like breakdowns was that Echo has always had that ability to go back in time. And I thought it was so cool that they, like, made it make sense to why Echo can do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what really, like, won me over with season two is that, yes, they've got this franchise that, like, essentially they make, I don't even know how much, millions of dollars, probably even billions. But, like, they didn't just make Echo have time travel. Like, they made
it's
it make sense to the plot.
The game. Yeah.
I really loved that. Like, I think Echo is probably one of my favorite characters just because, like, everything about him made sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It didn't feel like, oh, we're just going to give him, like, time travel.
Yeah.
Time travel, cool.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, Caitlyn and Vi are my favorite. And just, like, the representation, like they actually followed through, and we did not have to bury any gays at the end because I was very afraid that we were going to.
Oh,
I was
no.
very afraid that's what the trope is called, is bury your gays, where like there's a lesbian relationship or a gay relationship, they kiss once, boom, one's dead, and it's like oh they could never be, and like that's how that's a thing. Oh yes.
I didn't realize that either. They get redshirted all the time, really.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, it's called barrier gaze, is, like, that trope of, like, having a queer bait character almost, or a queer baiting or relationship like that, and then taking one away, so that's, like, you never actually get to experience what their relationship is. They never get to have love, because,
yeah.
It's homophobic.
So, Jason Victor.
Yeah, Jason Victor, though! Oh, my gosh! Yeah, and that's another trope I'm very curious to hear your opinions on. Because, like, the first watch through, I didn't think Jason Victor were a thing. And I kept seeing after season one, I think we were, like, 3 episodes into season two. And I was like, why is everybody so thirsty for Victor? Like, I'm very confused. I'm lost in this lore here. And then it all made sense as we got to the end of season two. I'm like, oh, got it. But I never put those two together.
Well, so, yeah, the official canon is not. I think Christian Link has described them as having a brotherly relationship, which I would not describe it as brotherly.
Stepbrotherly.
Whatever your intention was, I do think that they wanted to kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans obviously have read deeply into that.
The fans want what the fans want.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, it would make sense if they kind of just said, like, yeah, they were interested in each other, but, like, maybe given Jace's, you know, he was on the, what is it called?
The council.
Yes, he was on the council. He was called a counselor, which that's also a very interesting term that they call their leaders in this city, is that they're called counselors. Think about that for a second. It's very interesting. Yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe they could have played that up a little bit, that, like, because he's in this high position, didn't want people to see downward on him, or I don't know. I think there could have been more with that. They could have explored a little more gay.
Okay.
Oh, there's always room for more gay.
Yeah.
There's always room for it. If they had had another whole, I honestly think there could have been another whole season.
I feel like, which we had talked about this a little bit in text messaging after I'd finished, and I was like, oh my god, I need your help. I feel like season two was, the pacing was incredibly fast.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. I'm not the only one to think that. I feel like a lot of people, that's their biggest critique. Like, I would have loved for them to embellish a little bit more on, like, the Black Rose, Black Thorn.
Mm-hmm.
They, like, speed ran that.
And I could not describe to you what her problem is, what is happening there. There's so many, there's a few things like that where I'm like, don't know what that is.
Like, it was so fast.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, like, the weird time with her brother that, like, then,
also unexplainable.
Like, they gave her the brother and then were like, nah, he doesn't exist. Like, it just felt, it felt weird to me. I was like, you could have cut out that little bit and then given us a little bit more explanation, time, and some other character development. Like, that to me felt very forced, very rushed for no reason.
See, mm-hmm. but I feel like that was just them dropping the breadcrumbs for the next show.
You know, that is true.
All the rumors I've heard is that the next show is going to go over to Black Rose Land, and they're going to deal with all of that stuff. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I do think that they are going to explain that eventually. So yeah, I don't think that they're leaving it. Yeah,
okay,
open ended forever. Hopefully,
I also feel like there's another scene, and I'm curious what you both think. So this might be a hot take. Hear me out.
Okay,
I feel like there's a scene they totally could have taken out, and it would have changed nothing. And I think it's them, it's like a flashback of Vander at the bar with Selko meeting the girl's mom.
Oh, me, Felicia.
Yes, is that her? Like, see,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
I didn't even know her name. Yeah, I had no idea.
If they didn't give her name, it's gone.
No idea.
And I feel like we didn't need to see them having that conversation. We could have used that time on other characters and character development and more, like, information as an audience, where, like, we got it that she passed away in the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't feel like we learned anything about her or Selko or Vander that we didn't already know.
Yeah, I feel like that would have been a good time to, like, explore all three of their relations. Like, why do any of them care so much about Felicia that they're taking her kids?
Yeah.
And, like, I went back and watched season one because I felt very confused. I was like, why are they trying to show me this? Like, what is the answer of this? And, like, if you go back and watch season one, episode one, it doesn't give you any more information because you see Vi with Jinx has got her hand over her eyes. You see Vi see her mom and you see her see Vander. And when he comes out of the smoke, you see her like, oh my gosh, I know you. Like you see a little bit of an excitement and then her seeing the mom or no, wait, opposite. She sees Vander first, gets excited. He looks at the mom.
Mm-hmm.
Then Vi looks and then she's sad. But like that scene doesn't make any more sense after seeing more of the mom later on.
Yeah.
Like, we can already put together the pieces that, like, oh, Vi has seen Vander before. She recognizes this man. And the fact that he then has the scene with her mom almost takes away the, like, fact that he chose to stop fighting and help these two kids. It almost takes the power away from that scene, in my opinion.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I would argue that if the only, I could see if they needed a reason to show that scene with Selko and all them in the bar, it would be to establish that they were essentially that close. Because if without that, like, they didn't really do a lot of ties of, like, how Selko was kind of friends with everybody. Like, he seemed like kind of the offshoot bad guy. So I think by adding that scene, they were, like, giving a reason for Selko to take Jinx under his wing after the whole thing, because otherwise it wouldn't make sense. Like, why is this nut job who's trying to do this stuff take on this girl
Powder that well? Then why did he go up to her and say hello, little girl, in season?
I mean I feel like he was not close with her. He was just kind of there. Like, I feel like they were all just kind of hanging out at the bar. It's like he may have seen this kid, but never, like, didn't had a reason to.
Hmm.
And do they ever talk about their dad? at all?
No, his name, I honestly can't, his name is like Corn or something. Like, it's not like, it's not Colin. It's Cucumber. something just like very boring and generic. And he has brown hair. So it's like, where do these girls get these colored hair from?
Yeah, interesting. I don't know.
Most boring, bald man.
Interesting, really.
And that's a shame. I love the trajectory character development of the guy that we see the first time we see the last drop. I can't remember his name. It's like one word. It's like something with a TH. Thick? Thin?
The last drop.
Thin. He's the guy that's like negotiating with the two thugs in the beginning. And we see him throughout every phase of the show.
Oh, I don't remember.
So he's in the last drop. He's negotiating with these two thugs. Vander comes up and is like, nah, you're going to pay him his rate.
Oh, that guy.
That guy's name.
Yeah. The guy with the, he's like the guy with the glasses no hairline, and the face. And then,
and
he
then
gets...
we see him addicted to shimmer.
Oh, yeah, okay. I don't know his name.
The glasses guy.
I love seeing him because if you watch throughout the show, he goes from, like, everything's going okay at the last drop to then addicted to shimmer, and he apologizes to Caitlin, who then kind of is supposed to, like, relay the message to Vi, that he's like, I'm so sorry. I just wanted to be someone. I wanted to make people scared. But then he becomes Victor's henchman.
Yeah.
And then he's one of the robots that goes to kill Jace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's got the same thing going on. So I'm like, oh, I love the through line. Like, he always pops up somewhere. And I think that this just, it's great writing.
I do think they did a really good job with, like, every character having, like, another side of the coin and everyone going through, like, the full cycle of everything.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, I had read something that the reason that the hex tech got all polluted after Victor went into it was because he had all the shimmer in his body.
Mm.
And I had saw a thing that they said that the shimmer was being, like, they never say it, but they kind of show it, that the shimmer's being manufactured from those flowers that he was given the giant gecko thing, you know, whatever. And then I saw somebody was saying that in the game, they talk about how those flowers are actually grown in some sort of, like, void realm, like some kind of negative, like, void alternate dimension, and that they're also growing in this world, kind of like how the Blackthorns have their world, and that, like, the void realm and the real world overlap in this cave where the flowers grow, and that's why Shimmer does what it does, because this void realm, all it wants to do is destroy.
Interesting.
Did you hear anything about any of that?
I had not heard that.
Interesting.
No. That's super interesting, though.
I love that, like, that's the direction your YouTube
yeah.
is. It's like, this man likes science. Let's give him the science side of Arcane. And I think that's what makes the show so good, is that, like I love watching all the videos that talk about, like, the character development and, like, the writing and, like, seeing a character start somewhere and end somewhere completely different.
Yeah.
And you're over there, like, learning about where the shimmer comes from.
Yeah, my YouTube's like, comparisons of Arcane and Shimmer to quantum mechanics. I'm like, tell me more, you know? Yeah.
Meanwhile, on Chompy's timeline, it is 100% lesbian.
It's like don't kill the gays. Yeah,
literally just Caitlin and Vi doing it in every way that is possible to do it. And it is my full timeline, top to bottom.
I mean, there's a deleted they said they had to turn down the spice-o-meter on that scene.
Let the French be French. This is what they were made to do. Let them go off. Let them cook. Please.
I guess Netflix said no. They were like, nah.
Was this done by French creators?
Fortiche is French AF.
Okay.
You guys should watch. There's a special feature. I don't know if you've seen it yet. I think it's called, like, Into the Rift or something like that. But it's the making of season one.
Gotcha. So I've seen people pull clips from this
in
their,
YouTube breakdown, and then they usually end up, pardon my French, but shitting all over what the writers say and things, because people always use it for the negative YouTube videos, and I don't know why.
Because, like, that's what gets attention, and it's just like, it's so...
Yeah, controversy gets attention, gets clicks.
It's the same. People, I can't look at certain things on Twitter, except for the lesbians, obviously. But, like, there is a segment of Twitter that hates Caitlyn. It just, like, really reads into her dictator era, and is like, she is a fascist to her heart, and she is evil, and she abused Vi, and she gassed children on purpose to murder all of them, and she hates Dawn. It's like... What show did you watch? Because I feel like her arc was about figuring out so many things that she was taught are completely wrong, and that she does not continue to be an enforcer, and she, you know, gives up her spot on the council to Zabika. So it's like, I feel like she figures out that that was not it.
Yeah. I mean, people will always take a character and then take them to that extreme length. Like, I mean, we even started calling Victor like Jesus Victor. You know what I mean? Like, like we even started doing it a little bit to Victor. So, I mean, yeah, it's unfortunate, though, that Caitlyn kind of gets that, like, you know, bubble around her because she, you have to imagine that, like, she kind of grew up in a bubble. Mm-hmm. Like, her parents seem very protective on her, so much so that the mom goes out of her way to make sure that she's only guarding her tent, her post, a place that's safe. So it's like, I don't know, if you can't see past that, where it's like, you know, privilege. She grew up privileged. They make jokes about it. They're like, don't you have a goddamn money to get to? If you can't see the writing that's on the wall, then I don't know how to help you.
Truly.
Like, I definitely feel like they were trying to paint that image of her being a fascist and going to those extremes. But I think the storyline they were more trying to tell, in my opinion, was about, like, the toxicity of obsession and being able to let things go. Because, I mean, that's, like, she did all of that stuff because she was so blind to it because, like, her focus was just get Jinx, get Jinx, and nothing else mattered.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what they were trying to highlight is that, like, yes, it's important to have goals and it's important to, like, take, you know, your life to heart and do what you got to do to reach the goals that you want. But, like, watch out to make sure you're not stepping outside yourself, that you're not damaging the rest of society with your obsessions, you know?
And even then, like, let's remember, like, her mom was killed by Jinx. And then she may not have even stepped up to do anything about that if Ambessa had not put her hand on her shoulder and be like, Caitlyn, you're the new leader. We are all looking to you. And, like, whispering in her ear, oinking her poison in her ear. Mm-hmm. So, but it's like, she took an opportune moment to step in and manipulate Caitlyn. So, like, it's crazy. It's just wild to me that's like, Ambessa is clearly an actual dictator.
Yeah, why are people not going after Ambessa?
And, like, she's a great character. They're both, they're all great characters. It is so weird that people, like, take what happened to be like, Caitlyn is evil and no one should even like her. And people who cosplay her are also evil and must be cop lovers. And it's like, I'm
okay, chill.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was an important story arc. I do find it kind of funny that, like you just said, like, Jinx killed her mom. So it was like, that was her obsession with that. But then also, she seemed to not fully understand why Vi hated the Enforcers so much, even though the Enforcers killed both of her parents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, she was kind of like, ugh, that's not what it is. Like, come on, Vi, you know, whatever, help me kill Jinx because of that. It's like, You want this girl to help you kill her sister because she killed your mom, but you don't understand why she hates you because you're an enforcer who killed her parents.
Exactly.
You know?
It is a cycle.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like she knows, though, because she tells her on, like, season one. Like, she flat out says it to her at the tower scene where everything falls down because she's like, the Enforcers killed my parents. Like, it's very, you know, it's there. So I think it's always in the back of her mind.
Yeah.
But sometimes, like, I don't know. I think that another great writing trope in the show is that, like, every episode we see someone's POV and then all of a sudden you're rooting for them because you understand why they're making those choices. Like, I found myself constantly being like, okay, Caitlyn, yeah. Like, at first I didn't really understand what you're doing, but now I'm on your side. And then Jace would do something stupid, as he does the entire time. And I'd be like, what are you doing, Jace? And then next episode, it's his POV. And I'm like, good job, Jace!
This makes sense now, yeah.
I did not know who to root for, like, at all during season two. I was like, you all are right. I get why you're making the decisions you are, but how is this gonna end?
And ain't that the world. Agony. Everybody's doing some, we don't know what it means until you're a day in their shoes.
You're not wrong.
And I definitely said that in a way that makes sense.
I mean, everybody has their public life, their private life, and their secret life.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. Not me, I don't have a secret life.
No, but I was like, not wait, what? I was like, I air out all my dirty laundry online. What do you mean?
I breed dinosaurs, yeah.
Okay, we washing my big gun?
Yeah, oh, that's your big gun.
Okay, this is her season two rifle.
Cool.
That does actually fold in half. And hold on, I'll turn the lights on. Have this little compartment. Lights. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Got my little hex set.
Yes! Gem. Your hexticles.
Yes.
That's so awesome. Okay, and speaking of the gun, question.
Yes.
When she traded the gun for the shimmer to save, was it Vi?
Save Vi.
It was Vi. Okay. She gives up her gun, and then like three or four scenes later, she has another gun that she's using to shoot. So where did that come from?
Was in still season one?
It was literally the same episode that she gave up her gun. Mm-hmm. It was like four or five scenes later, she's pulling out a gun and she's shooting at somebody. Like, where did that come from?
Do you remember what she was shooting at?
I don't
remember.
Because I think you might have the episode confused.
That's possible.
Because she shoots at Savika, but that's how Vi gets hurt, is from Savika. So then they go together to get the shimmer to help.
But, like, I swear, after she turned the gun in, like, she has a scene not too far later where she's, like, up on a balcony sniping somebody.
Because I think was, like, she was where shooting at Echo. And the...
Was it Echo?
Yeah, because, so, they get away, and Vi has an iconic scene where she pushes that random civilian and then flips him off, which I love for no reason. Then Jinx sets off the
smoke.
The flare. Then they go meet up with Jinx, and I think she had a gun then. Because how else was she firing at the firelights?
But like,
right, was she?
I guess
she
that's
also has
my
a pistol,
question.
But I don't know if she.
Maybe
had,
that's what she.
I
used.
Don't know if. I mean, the enforcers, I'm assuming, all have standard issue rifle. So I don't know if she went and got a different rifle.
Okay, yeah.
Also, we'll have to rewatch that.
Yeah,
maybe
I just remember there being like a rifle a few scenes after she gave hers up, and it wasn't a foldy rifle like that. It was just like a regular
maybe
rifle.
Maybe she got another one. I don't remember.
That's part of that is part of my issue with season two. I wouldn't say that it's the pacing is bad or that it's too fast.
Oh, really?
I would say that the lack of exposition with time jumps. And that kind of goes back to that whole like you need to be paying attention to everything that's said, because it's like, you know, it might move a month in between episodes, and unless you catch the one line or like the one calendar that's changed in the background, you're not going to notice that.
They never tell you about time jumps though throughout any of the season, because even like the very first big time jump is when it's progress day, and there's no text on screen that's like 10 years later. So I don't know. What were you saying? Sorry, cut you off.
I don't know if you guys know this, that this is one of the most expensive shows ever made. It was like $250,000 to make both season one and two. So that is another reason why a lot is
quarter
probably
billion? Like $250 million. I'd say for an anime.
Sorry,
that's
yes, that's right. That's what I meant. Sorry.
I mean the art style is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I can see why it took that long to make it.
Yeah. So I think that is why a lot of it got compressed. It's like, oh, we literally can't animate this much, and it's going to take us so long and so much money. And so I think that's why a lot of it is shortened down when we all could have worn more. But yeah, you should watch some of the behind the scenes in that documentary, because it shows you like how they do the 3D models, and then how the artists, like, literally they hand paint over it. Like, that's why it looks hand painted, is they're like going in and doing all that, and like things like a Vi's finger brushing over Caitlyn's earlobe and that kind of thing. Like, those are all just like such beautiful details. It's like that took someone an entire day just to do that like tiny movement. So
Yeah, I'm obsessed. It's so good. I'm on my second rewatch now to kind of like put all the pieces together. It's such a good story. And I feel like in a weird way, it has popularity, but it's still so underrated. And I don't know, like, why is it so underrated? You know, a lot of people have seen it. A lot of people have talked about it.
I mean, I'd argue that Jinx is super recognizable.
Yeah.
Oh, easily.
Yeah.
Easily.
She's the most popular lead character. So people are obsessed with her, and I think that she's mainstream recognizable. But I think just like the League of Legends of it all, and like I really think that that's why people are like people wouldn't give it a chance. Like, my parents have watched so many shows that I recommended, they still have not watched this one. They still also for some reason have not watched K-pop Demon Hunters. But
what's wrong with them?
I know. No, but they like so many other things. And like my friends too, like several of my friends, like we all watch the same shows. Like we watch Severance and all of the other like new shows.
Yeah.
But I can't convince them to watch this.
Why not? I even remember seeing you and Claire at, I think it was WonderCon last year.
Yeah.
I saw you both with all your cool stuff, and I was like, I have no idea what you guys are, but you look so cool. And I feel like you softly were like, you can watch the show. And I was like, gotta go.
Hat now.
And here I am.
Smell
like
you later.
And nerd. Some change later.
I mean, my biggest issue with it was that it was League of Legends. I don't play those kinds of games. Like, that is probably my least favorite genre of game of all time.
Yeah.
Button mashing.
Yeah, button mashing MMOs where it's far away and, like, you know, dice rolling mechanics for battle damage. You know, like, that's not my kind of game. And the only thing I really knew about League of Legends was that it was a cash grab. That was all I ever heard from anybody, that it was like, don't play League because all it's going to do is drain your wallet on freemium stuff. And, you know, so then it kind of left a bad taste in my mouth, you know. But then that animation.
But then they spent all the money.
Yeah.
French people being French.
Yeah. I actually saw that they have a book, too, that you can buy that kind of has a little bit more of the... Do you have it?
Yeah, the art book is very pretty. Yeah, so I bought the art book for Claire for Christmas last year. And then actually Riot was like, we have a better one for you. So they sent us the very special box version that's like the extended art book. And then it has... statues of Jinx and Vi in there, and there's I think there was a vinyl record in there too.
Wow.
So they sent us a bunch of like really cool things.
I love that they're so good to you both.
There's so nice. Thank you so much, Riot, for having us every time. We met Amanda Overton, one of the writers, last night, so we got to show her all of our stuff, and she was so excited and was like playing with, like, held the gauntlet, held my gun, was like, oh my god, it really folds in half, oh my god, it lights up, and like just looking at all of our stuff. So that was really special. And then at the finale, I got to meet Katie Leung, who is the voice of Caitlyn.
Yeah.
And I got to, like, do a little lip sync with her where she was, like, doing the line and I'm, like, doing the lip sync in the costume. And I got to show her my whole costume. So those two things combined are, like, I can die now. Like, that's why it's fine. I've done everything
I've seen that video of her. I'm a real fan. And I saw you wish her happy birthday, too.
Really. It was her birthday a couple days ago, so I reposted everything because she's so nice. Yeah, they were both so nice.
That's so cool. I feel like, unfortunately, out here in LA, there's a lot of people that are fans of lots of things, and it's hard to get recognition from the brands and, like, people that, like, really put their blood, sweat, and tears into projects. And it's really cool that they've sent you so many things and they invite you over and over again. So that's really awesome.
It really is. It feels so good. It's just, like, so rewarding. And we've worn these cosplays probably more than anything else that we've ever done because we keep getting us back, and we bring it to events, and people really like to see us at all this stuff. So it's really nice.
I'm obsessed. I do definitely want to have you and Claire on together at some point. And I don't know if we all want to bring and, like, prep our hot takes for Arcane. It might be a fun, weird round table of us all being like, Echo shouldn't exist, or, you know, just like things that, like, we strongly believe in, but everybody else disagrees, could be hilarious and also could be friendship ending.
No, I have questions if you have answers, Chompy, because you do know this so much better. So where did the initial hex cores come from? Did Jace create them with the little gemmy stone from the future, spoiler, that he got from Victor?
This whole episode's a spoiler.
Or did he find them? Did he mine them? I mean, like, we know there was a Rune Wars in the past that I have no idea what any of that was about. Like, where did the cores come from?
Girl, I don't know.
I've tried Googling it, actually. And Google has said that he did make them.
He did make them.
But doesn't explain how or from what. So that's what I found on that. So
okay.
Do with that what you
want. I don't remember. Okay, since it came out, I have not watched. I don't think I have rewatched season two. I don't think I've rewatched the whole thing because it stresses me out so much. While we were at the event last night, they were replaying only the finale over and over for 3 hours on screen. So I literally, every time we turned around, I was like, oh, I'm dying right now. No. Oh, I'm about to be shot in the head. Oh, everyone's about to die. Okay, cool.
Oh,
so,
my eyeball.
Oh, my eyeball's gone. Oh, yeah. So it is very strange. I've watched it many times with the sound off to look at the costumes and to figure out how I still don't know how Caitlyn's pants work. Her act three, little crop jacket, her pants, and the jail cell. She takes that jacket off. Okay. Turtleneck. Pants. Little other thing. Gone. We never see it being taken off. Hmm. We don't know where it goes. We don't know how it functions. This is my question. Well, because then you see Vi fiddling with the belt, but it's like, we never saw that belt.
When you're in the moon, your pants disappear, girl.
Things just disappear. Yeah. that's my question to the artist. How do those freaking pants work? Because I need Claire to make them for
pants that'll just disappear when you need them to.
Like, let's go. It's like the midsection of her pants between jacket is just suddenly gone. That's my big lore question.
How does pants work? Like a cummerbund kind of thing?
That's what I'm thinking is it must be like a cummerbund situation, but we never see it being taken off. So we know that the sex scene was condensed.
Okay. Yeah. And then my next question would be, from what I've gathered from all of the deep dive videos is that the ending that they show with Victor and Jace is showing them doing this same thing throughout basically touching every tapes. Iteration of the multiverse. And that, like, in order for humanity to be saved, Victor has to give the stone to Jace. Jace has to go crazy with it. And then they have to, you know, whatever. That leads me to believe that Arcane in itself is sentient in some way or form, regardless of being polluted by the shimmer, and that these events were inevitable, mm-hmm. and that there had to be, especially with Echo's ability to go back in time, there had to be one universe where they didn't create Hextech, they didn't whatever, and Arcane in itself still wound up to this same point and taking over the world and killing humanity. And then they found a way to go back in time and fix it, but then realize that by doing that, they're creating other timelines, and now they have to fix it in every single timeline. Oh, mm-hmm. So how do you feel about that?
Yes.
Like, that was the way that I interpreted that, like, the it was an inevitability that this would happen regardless of what they did, mm-hmm. but then the only way to save things is to do what they did.
Yeah, exactly. No, I think you're right about that. And I think thinking about it too hard is kind of so, like, it's time travel rules. Like, mm-hmm. there's so much that can happen yeah. when you're, like, talking about alternate universes and time travel. It's like, it's never gonna actually make any freaking sense because...
Because time travel can't be doing sense.
That. So yeah, there's always going to be like contradictions and that kind of thing. But no, I think that you're right about that. That it was inevitable and that they had to do all of that in order to set it right again in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Jace ultimately has to pick Victor in order for things to like go back.
Yeah.
Because if like there's Victor kind of gives him the out by being like, no, leave me, and then he's like, no, I have to be with you. So I feel like that's also part of the ending too. That like maybe they've gotten to that point multiple times, but Jace is like, oh, you good? Because like Mel's waiting for me.
Right. Like, I'm okay with a dead world. That's fine. Yeah.
He's like, you know, like you're real cute and all, but like I got a taste of her and it's good. You know.
Like, have you seen that gold stuff on her?
Like, have you seen her?
Yeah. Truly, Mel like, is the hottest in the whole show.
Yeah. Oh, she's a baddie. And I thought she was a bad guy. Like, upon first watch, I kept waiting for her to be the villain.
Oh my god, when she comes out at the end and saves Caitlin, I'm like, that's my girl! Girl! Oh my god. Oh my god. Cheers. Cheers.
So good.
Yeah.
It's so good. Is there a character or a scene in the show that you both ultimately would be like, man, I could do without?
I would dropkick Heimerdinger into the freaking moon.
No!
I want to hold him by his little furry head and kick him right in the face because he could have fixed everything.
But science needs to be safe.
Could have. Yeah. He's been alive. How long has he been
300
alive?
300 years. 309.
307 years.
Once, not one time, he'd be like, I should do something about this.
No, he goes to the alternate universe and sings a song.
Yeah, no, then he learns a guitar for 100 years or however long he's waiting for Echo. I think actually, okay, I don't know if this is actually correct. The amount of time that he names is supposedly the amount of time between when season one ended and when season two, like the amount of like Earth time, I believe.
It was like 13 years or something
That's
like that.
So
was
it there
wait, while he was waiting for Echo?
Yeah, I thought it was only 13.
No.
I don't think it was that long. I feel like it was like a year. It was like a
Was it three?
A couple years. Maybe it was I don't three. Remember.
I'm going to ask.
Maybe yeah, I'm doing false information.
She's going to ask it. Okay.
I'm going to ask the internet.
And then my next question.
Yes.
No, you didn't answer my question.
Is, no, well, you're looking yours up.
You didn't answer it.
How with Shimmer did we go from like, here's this thing that makes you super strong, but it's going to kill you after two or three tries, to here's this thing that everybody's doing and gets addicted to and it will kill you but much slower across time, to okay, now we're putting Shimmer in the machines and that seems to be taking the brunt of the pollution instead of you. Like, how did we get to that without any talk about it?
Girl, I don't know.
I love that your questions are all science based.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't have the lesbian porn on my
ask me questions so. About the girls kissing. That is the information that I know the like, most about.
I gotta know what happened with the pants. And then Adam's like, so space-time continuum. Yeah. I've thought about it. And I read string theory my way.
Yeah.
Also, Heimerdinger spent 1,128 days, approximately 3 years and 2 months.
Okay, so yes, it was three-ish years between the end of season, when season one was done airing, and when season two started airing.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah, which is about the time frame from when they were released. It was 2021 and 2024. Yeah, got it.
That was the fun fact she was trying to tell us. Got we just it. Killed the fun out of it. So now it's just a random fact.
Who needs fun? I want facts. I want science.
So Chompy says Heimerdinger, she would dropkick. Is there a character that you despise, don't like, could
now,
do without?
What are the, I guess if you picked Heimerdinger, the rules of this, it doesn't.
Who annoys you the most?
I didn't like the ginger girl.
Oh, Maddie.
Yeah, Maddie.
I thought she
was a useless character.
Useless character. Marcus.
Oh, I mean, that's not true.
Marcus pissed me off.
Oh, well, Marcus sucks as a person.
That's his goal, though.
Yeah,
like,
everything
he's
he did
literally
was
there.
Pissing me off.
Yeah.
And then, I don't even remember the character's name. It was one of Silco's baddies. He was the dude with the iron jaw on the bottom. Like, another just, like, useless, like, Street Fighter II big dude character with no story arc, no whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you?
I feel like, unfortunately, and you can totally disagree with me, I feel like all of Caitlyn's gang, when she, like, goes to the underground and tells the counselors, like, we're gonna gas the city, and this is me and my crew. And it's, like, all these people that we know nothing about.
Randos.
Yeah.
No, we said the same thing. We're like, why is Loris there? Like, he's a random dude that was hanging out with Vi when she was drunk.
Yes!
Like, how did he get here? How did Steb get here? No, it's very, yeah, no, we're like, like, when we were watching this, we're like, who are they?
All we know is Maddie, you know, her. Yes. She's like, Sergeant blah, 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 Maddie, and oh, we're a big fan of you. And it's just kind of like, but why should I believe that these are your strongest people? It's supposed to be impressive. They have this great score behind it. And I'm like, and you are?
Caitlin is grasping for any ounce. Someone who's smiled at her once is now her best friend and her strongest soldier.
Yes, like, I don't know. Like, it's such a weird moment. Because, like, I would love for us to have a little bit on them or something. Or, like, even in the scene when they're talking to Vi, all they got to do is just add a little seasoning of them having, I don't know, intuition, a brain, a thought.
Critical thinking of any kind. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, the one guy, what was his name that you said was drinking with Vi?
Oh, Loris.
Loris. Like, all they had to do was have him sit up and, like, even though he was drunk, be able to shoot something from far away and then him be like, man, I'll get that next week, you know, and fall over or something to give us, like, oh, he's a great shot too. We're like breadcrumb us with like why they're impressive. Tell us why.
Yeah. I think he was just a large man who was vaguely Vander shaped, and so I think that's it.
That was it, just to be reminiscent of Vander.
Vaguely Vander shaped is that's a lot of this. I feel like sometimes. Oh no. But overall, I would still like, I highly recommend it. Still love the show. There's just a couple like little spots that I was a little bit like, okay.
And then Victor's girl that winds up in Eternity with him.
Sky.
Yeah, what is, like, why? Why? Okay, like, she was pining for him a little bit, but, like, he was completely oblivious to it. She didn't really add a lot to any of the work that they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
That's not true.
Why did, I mean, compared to what Jace and Victor were doing?
Jace did nothing. He was just a man.
He created the hex tag.
We don't even know that, though.
Well, we do know. He said he's like, I created this hex tag. I mean, yeah, used, like, stuff
Where was that?
Like, when he was pitching everything, he's like, I found a way to make magic technology, blah, blah, blah. I found a way to harness it, you know?
Yeah, but he never said he made it.
I think he did. I'm pretty sure he used the words made hex tag. Mm-hmm. I don't remember now.
I think Sky is important because it shows Victor's hyperfixation as Caitlin has the hyperfixation on Jinx.
Okay.
That same reasoning you gave for Caitlyn, I think, works for Victor. That he, even though he always wanted to be accepted and have someone to believe in him, he was so
and he had it. Yeah, he was so locked in to what he was doing that it was like he completely ignored a love that he could have had, someone who could have been a partner to him at that time.
Yeah,
you know, in their work, in love, and he was too single minded. And that's so many characters throughout the show. It's like they had it. It was what they wanted is right in front of them. And they're like, no, I have to look past that because there's something more important that I have to do. And it's like, you're going to lose that thing that you have if you keep going after this thing or whatever, you know, whatever it is that you're obsessed with.
And I think it hits hard because when she phases away into his, like, ultiverse that he's in, he says, like, I'm going to miss you. And she says, no, you won't.
Yeah.
Like, that's powerful for someone, you know, like, this is finally his, like, you know, moment of being like, I'm sorry, I have to give you up so I can, you know, fix
be
this
God.
Other thing.
Yeah.
And she's like, you're not sorry. Like, you've used me all along.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she is not main character important, but I do think it shows a side of Victor that he also can be
cruel
poignant. To
people. Yeah, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That, yeah. He is short-sighted as well. Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. Darn. So sad. How do we feel about, oh man, we got to wrap this up.
We're at 50 minutes.
Forever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to think of like a really good bridge into Patreon here. Cause I do want to like talk a little bit on Patreon. We won't do it as long as this episode, but is there a moment in the show that really locked you in? Like, when did the show win you over? Because we've all said that, like, we're not league players. This is not our show. But it is once we, like, got into it. And when was the moment that it, like, really sucked you
in? When Kate and Vi go on their first little adventure and put on the disguises and go, is it Babette that they go visit at the but yeah, when they get in disguises and go on their little adventure together, I'm like, oh, they gonna kiss. And if they don't kiss, I'm gonna be really mad, but I think that they like each other, they're gonna kiss at some point, so I'm in.
Yeah, you're like, I'm won over. I remember watching the show and like not really understanding why you and Claire chose the characters that you did like 2-3 episodes in. I was like, I don't get it, like, why did they pick these two? I don't understand. And then by like episode 5, I was like, I totally fucking get it. Oh my God, I love you both. Oh my God, this is amazing.
And we had some hints from, because when we, obviously season 1 ended and they're not in an official relationship and they kind of, yeah, have that fight and whatever. They don't kiss until season 2. No, that is, that when they kiss on Strike Team, that is the first time that they kiss.
Oh.
Yeah.
Considering her FYP, I'm going to trust that.
Yeah, considering the FYP you're on, yes.
So they were not an official relationship before, like, the middle of season 2. But we had some possible official hints before that they were gonna get together. Because yeah, when we were hired, they were like, we want a real couple to be okay by. So we're like, oh, so it's happening.
Like, so
you're not queerbaiting us.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I would say, I mean, I mentioned it earlier, season 1, episode 3 just showed that, like, the characters that they have in this world, they can just easily take away from you. Even though, yes, they bring Vander back later, but, like, man, as soon as that happened, I was so locked into the show, because then you don't know, like, could Jinx be next? Could Vi be next? Like, who... They just really did such a good job at making it not predictable. Mm-hmm. Like, I had no idea where the storyline was going, and I couldn't wait to see what was going to happen next. So, season 1, episode 3.
For me, it was two different points. The first one would be when Vi gets broken out of jail, and they stop at Last Drop or restaurant or whatever it is, and she's eaten that first non-prison meal. The animation of the juice falling out of her mouth was, like, so beautiful and so enticing that I was just like, wow, they put a lot of work into this.
Oh, and don't the lesbians know?
I
want to
keep watching.
Yeah!
Yeah, I bet.
Juice coming out of her mouth. Oh, yeah.
And then really, it was like, once I was like, oh, this storyline is about using magic like science and talking about runes in the same way that they talk about vibrations with string theory. And that amalgamation of technology and magic, like, I'm always going to love that, you know?
Damn.
Yeah.
So
science nerd. Yeah.
Yeah, like... You know, if you're looking for a show that you can science out, character development, and see some lesbian action, we got the show for you.
It is for you.
Thank you so much for watching this episode of Tallulah Can Do Podcast. We're going to take it over to Patreon just for a little bit. I know it's late for us, so we're not going to stay too long. But Chompy, where can everybody find you on social media?
You can find me on OMG Chomp on pretty much everything, and I post lots of Kate Vi content. So if you like that, you'll find it there.
And also, Chompy is our editor for this podcast. Yeah. I don't always send that at the top of the show. So, like, thank you so much for all your hard work.
Of course.
Like,
yeah.
You do so much. Y'all need to give her some love.
No, all you guys in the comments, I always love seeing your comments, especially when I'm in the live chat. And people are like, oh, Chompy's here. Like, yay. Oh, it's so fun.
You're a celebrity. You're a celebrity upon our Delulu canoe riders. And also, Adam, where can people find you?
Instagram, Adam Williams Astro. That's about it. And go to my IMBD and give me the hits, you know?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, he was just on a show recently. So go look and see which show, if it's up at this point.
It's probably not added to my IMBD yet. It is on my resume on the casting sites. But
just go look.
NDA-wise, I don't think it's up there yet. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You can go check out mine. I had something added to mine. So go check out my IMDb. Thank you all so much for joining us. I'm going to end this really fast because we've been here for a minute. So stay Delulu, because that will make all your dreams come true. Hey. Bye. Your lesbian dreams come true to do.